So Wells Fargo this morning said, look, we went back, we re-reviewed this period, and we also added some additional years, about twice as many. And in doing all of those things, we found 1.4 million accounts, bringing us to 3.5 million accounts that our employees potentially created without authorization.
Hours before the U.S. travel ban to North Korea kicks in, the last American tourists out of Pyongyang arrive at Beijing Airport. Also stepping off the plane, U.S. tour guides and humanitarian workers exiting North Korea by order of the State Department. The travel ban comes as the U.S. and several other nations think of ways they can further pressure North Korea over its nuclear weapons program. In fact, the ban itself may go some way to doing that.
I think it's really important to distinguish between cryptocurrencies and the blockchain technology that comes underneath them. To me, the thing about cryptocurrencies is that they really aren't currencies. They're really commodities like soybeans or pork bellies or whatever. They're things that people trade to create a return.
So what does that mean about the value?
Well, it means it's going to always be volatile. I think it's volatile by design. I think it was designed to be volatile. And currencies, by definition, need to have stability.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's September 1st, 2017, 5:10 in the morning. Glad you're here with us. How about that? It's September already. Big Labor Day weekend is about to get underway, but first we'll get through this last business day of the week. And we've got lots to cover. We'll bring in Paul Nolte momentarily. We'll do our regular Friday conversation about the economy and our portfolios. A little bit later in the program, we'll bring in Rick Cini, who's back from vacation. We'll talk a little bit about how the airlines have been affected and travel has been affected by all of the storms in the southeast, the hurricane and tropical storm in Texas. So we've got a good show for you. The opening montage there, we're all scratching our heads here over Bitcoin, something we're still trying to wrap our heads around. I'm not sure that the report there about Bitcoin being like soybeans is really something that we're really wrapping our heads around. Soybeans, you can touch soybeans. You can see the soybeans. We just don't understand Bitcoin for some reason, but we're learning, and we promise we're going to do a show on Bitcoin very, very soon. Lots to cover on the markets this morning, too. It's a big jobs day, and Dow futures are pointing higher this morning on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. The Dow futures, again, up 32, NASDAQ up 4, S&P up 2. Around the globe this morning, markets are generally higher with the markets in Asia. The Nikkei leading the way there, up about 45 points. The Hang Seng was a lower, Shanghai a little bit higher, and markets in Europe generally higher as well. In France, Germany, and in London, markets are up from a quarter to a half, almost to a percent in France, where markets are a little bit higher. DAX up 77 points this morning. The FTSE is up just 15 points. So oil is trading at $46.69 a barrel, which is down almost a full percent, 54 cents. Some news that we're following today, obviously the jobs report. The U.S. economy grew 3% in the spring to mark the fastest spurt of growth in more than 2 years, and we expect strong job creation is one of the things that followed that. We'll talk more about this with Paul Nolte coming up. Some economists say they expect 170,000 jobs were added last month, the unemployment rate likely staying to a 16-year low. Some other stories we're watching for you, the travel ban. You heard about the court settling of that with the federal government. Part of that deal with the government and the Trump administration is that foreigners and others who were barred from entering the U.S. during the first attempt to ban travel from 7 Muslim-majority nations will get government help reapplying for visas under the settlement that was released yesterday and reached yesterday. Civil rights lawyers in the Trump administration announced the deal during a conference call in federal court in Brooklyn. One scene of the legal battle over the treatment of hundreds of travelers who were processed at U.S. airports over that chaotic week back in January. At least 2 tons of highly unstable chemicals used in such products as plastics and paint exploded and burned at a flood-crippled plant near Houston, sending up a plume of smoke, black smoke, that stung the eyes and lungs. The fires that began early Thursday at the Arkema chemical plant burned out around midday. Crews continued to hold back because of the danger there could be more. Flooding is still a problem in Houston. Now we're eyeing Irma, which is a big hurricane that's forming in the Atlantic, that has formed in the Atlantic, that's moving toward The United States will keep a close eye on that over the next few days. Well, our regular Friday conversation now, Paul Nolte is with us. He is an SVP, a senior portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management. Paul, good morning. Happy Friday.
Good morning, Steve. Happy September.
Yeah, right. It's going pretty fast, isn't it?
I think the older you get, the faster it goes.
Yeah, I think so. So let's, I guess jobs are front and center this morning, right?
It is jobs. And again, this will be, as we have talked about with every jobs report, it's the most interesting jobs report that we've seen over the last year. And really today we're going to be looking at, again, jobs creation, which we expect to be maybe on the high side of the estimates of 170. We were surprised last month we were over 200. But again, we're going to be looking at wage growth. Wages are going to be the key to this report. We're seeing from a lot of the manufacturing and the service industry, we're seeing a fair amount of job creation in a lot of their various reports and the Fed reports that we've seen over the last few weeks. So we think the risk might be that we get a little bit better than expected job growth. But again, wages are going to be the key for this as to whether the Fed feels they have the ability to raise rates later on this year.
Yeah. One of the questions I've been hearing a lot over the last 24, 48 hours is, will there be an impact soon? It probably, obviously not today, but how quickly would the impact of the storms in the southeast perhaps impact the jobs report, if at all?
It will absolutely have an impact. And it will take probably, it will probably be in this next report. And when you take a look at the prior hurricanes, Katrina, Sandy, and you know, the winter storm of 2016-17, you saw a huge spike in those people that were not working due to bad weather. And we saw a big decline after Katrina in the non-farm payroll growth. So if you were expecting, let's say, 170, we might see 50,000 new job creation. And that persisted for probably about 2-3 months or so, and then we got back to a more normal, if you will, employment report. So there will be an impact, and it will be over the next couple employment reports. But that'll come out then, like I said, probably in about November or so, we'll get to a normal employment report.
Paul, I saw something this week that was sort of mixed in with the really good ADP private payrolls report that came out earlier in the week. It was from Challenger Grain Christmas, which is based here in Chicago, talking about employers who were announcing plans or preparing to make layoffs coming up this month, up 19% from July and about 5% higher than August of last year. 33,800 jobs planning to be laid off in August. Is that a concerning number?
When you take a look at Challenger Gray and you look at the ADP report, some of them are good more for the direction of the overall employment report, but not necessarily magnitude. And when you look at the Challenger Gray, and I looked at it briefly yesterday, some of those that came out of it were primarily in the retail sector, which, as we've talked about, is really struggling in the United States as more people move online. So, again, it's not a big surprise given where the job losses are coming from.
All right. Paul, hang on with us. We're going to continue our conversation with Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management, as we do every Friday here as the opening bell continues.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Investors are eyeing the August jobs numbers. This as Wall Street stocks rose again yesterday, following a report showing spending by U.S. consumers grew in July, along with wages and salaries. The NASDAQ soared 60 points, the Dow was up 56, and the S&P climbed 14 points. Asian shares were mostly higher this morning. There is speculation that Harriet Tubman's future on the $20 bill could be in jeopardy. In an interview with CNBC, the Treasury Secretary remained mum about whether or not he supported the Obama administration's decision to replace Andrew Jackson. Tubman was a 19th century abolitionist who led the Underground Railroad. Lyft announced Thursday it's offering service to passengers in every corner of 32 U.S. states, including hard-to-reach rural areas. Dave Schreiber, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We're on with Paul Nolte this morning of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. You can find more about them at kingsview.com. Paul, I know we've talked about this before. Last September, September's not really a good month. It's one of the historically worst months of the year for the markets, isn't it?
It is, and, you know, I don't know if there's any logical reason for it other than, you know, we get back from the summertime. There's a little bit of slowing in the economy. And actually what people look at and say, well, you know, we've had the crash in 87, but that was October. We saw the crash in 1929, and that was also October. But the August-September period has historically been very weak. And so we're coming in, we managed to get positive for August with yesterday's close, which kept the streak alive since October of last year, where the market has been up now every month since last October. So we might see a little bit more weakness here this month. We may see a little bit of volatility picking up here as well as September. We've got a few things ahead of us yet. We've got maybe the government shutdown. We've got hurricane relief, which, again, will depress some of the economic data for at least a little while, and then the debt ceiling as well. So there's a few things that are on the horizon that may create a little bit of volatility here for this month, and then we'll get into earnings season more into November and October, and that may give the market a little bit of a boost.
Yeah, I was expecting to see the market get a little bit more of a boost. Yesterday, Steven Mnuchin, who was on CNBC, the Treasury Secretary, said that there is actually a very detailed, in his words, tax plan ready that's been actually given to members of Congress. He says it's being socialized. The Senate is now, House and Senate are now socializing the plan with their members, whatever that means. But do we believe him that there's a detailed plan and it's in Congress already?
Well, again, part of the reason the markets rose yesterday, part of the reason the markets rose earlier in the week is under the story, at least, that there is a tax plan. Again, we're not sure any of the details, how it's going to work. And if it gets passed and signed into law, let's say in October, the impact from tax relief or any adjustment in the tax law, we won't feel that from an economic perspective until at least mid-year of next year, if not later in the year. So the fact that they're working on it, I guess, is a good thing. But again, we don't know any of the details, and we certainly won't see any of the impacts for at least another 6 to 12 months.
What do you like here at the end of the week going into the long weekend, Paul?
I love it that it's a Friday and ahead of a long weekend. But outside of from the investment world, we still are very interested in the international markets. International has been really one of the stellar places to be this year, with a lot of the markets up over 20% so far this year. So we will see with the employment report what impact it might have on the dollar. So the fact that the Fed has been standing aside, interest rates in the United States have come down. The dollar has come down. So you could be a balanced investor, 50% of your money in the stock market, 50% of your money in the bond market, and have done very well this year. And that really is a very different view than what we saw coming into this year following on to the election and Brexit and so on. So there were a lot of concerns coming into the year. But at least through 8 months, a good balanced portfolio is giving you a solid return so far this year.
Well, Paul, put me down for 100 shares of long weekend. I like that bet.
I'm right behind you.
All right. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Okay, Paul?
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Paul Nolte of Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago, portfolio manager there. By the way, Paul is going to be on the noon show today, the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand to go over some of the after effects of the jobs report coming out. So make sure you're listening at noon today.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Glad you're here for our Friday edition. And we begin this segment talking a little bit about the recovery from the hurricane and the tropical storm Harvey. Houston's airports began trudging back into operation earlier this week, offering just a handful of flights out of the Houston airport, an airport that normally sees as many as 480 takeoffs from United flights alone. United Airlines, one of those airlines that has been hard hit by this, Southwest as well. We thought we'd bring in Rick Cini this morning to talk a little bit about it. Rick is the founder and CEO of FareCompare.com. Rick, I would imagine this is going to be a long-term deal. These airlines' travel has been impacted in a serious way.
Yeah, it's probably about as close as I've seen to Superstorm Sandy when we had Newark and LaGuardia and JFK having issues for a prolonged set of days. Major hub airport down in Houston with both with United and Southwest having large presence down there. Southwest flying into Caribbean out of a special international terminal out of Houston Hobby. Flights canceled all midweek. Actually, I just came back last Sunday from Europe and actually was diverted away from Dallas to Memphis for a five-hour layover on the tarmac there because of all the traffic that was actually diverted into Dallas from Houston. So it causes a ripple effect all the way through a variety of things. So just be careful as you're flying over the next several days. Airlines will continue to have waivers on certain days, so be sure and check that if you want to change your plans.
Right, and the focus still remains obviously protecting life and limb and watching hopefully that all, you know, everybody is safe there. But this recovery, I mean, it'll take probably weeks for the airlines to recover or no?
Probably not weeks, but it will take them several more days to get everything in the same spot. It mostly affects United, but other airlines are affected too. Anybody that travels through the southern part of the country is going to be affected. So Southwest also has a large presence. So those two airlines specifically are going to take a longer time to unwind than the other airlines.
Well, you said you just got back from Europe. This is a perfect time to go to Europe, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of flying to Europe in the month of September. Just generally, all the local folks that are in each of the countries actually take the month of August off. They're back in town. They're in their shops. So if you want some of the local flavor, great place. The dollar's extremely strong against the pound and the euro. So all the activities, lodging, everything, food, all related to that is very inexpensive. In fact, a lot of people that are flying over from the U.S. are taking two bags, one empty, one in one of their normal bags and coming back with goodies from over there because it's so inexpensive.
You know, as we were getting ready for the interview today, is this accurate? These are the most perfect conditions to travel to Europe that you've seen?
It's been a long time since I've seen prices like this. You have sort of a perfect storm. Fuel prices being down. You have the strong dollar with a weaker economy over in Europe in certain locations and sort of some softness here in the U.S. You also have a variety of low-cost transatlantic carriers, WOW, Norwegian, Icelandic Air, Aer Lingus, all flying, driving some of the prices down. So, you know, I was looking sort of out of the D.C. area at a variety of prices sort of last week in September, first week in October, perfect time to fly. And you're looking at prices into places like the United Kingdom, Edinburgh, London, all under $700 round trip, Dublin, $550 round trip. And then if you look in places like Germany, Hamburg, Munich, Hamburg further north, Copenhagen, all those under $600 round trip, places in Spain under $700 round trip, Italy a little more expensive in the $800 range, but compared to last year, those prices are much higher. Nice at $700, Paris at $630. Those are just, I would call them almost ridiculously low at this point.
You mentioned a couple of them there, Ryanair and WOW Air. These are two that seem to be getting a lot of press lately. Is it worth, if we're not at an airport, to get on one of those airlines, to buy a flight from here to one of those airports to get on one of those cheap flights?
Yeah, so you can take a domestic flight, catch Norwegian or Icelandic or WOW or one of these other places if they're not flying out of your particular area. They do tend to fly out of the Northeast, lots of different locations. A few of them do go out of the D.C. area, so check those out in different destinations. But it's happening all the time. My business partner is flying Icelandic, stopping over in Reykjavik in a couple weeks, specifically because the price was so low on that particular flight, and he'd never been to Reykjavik before, spending a couple days on a stop over there. So definitely worthwhile to even look at domestic flights, because domestic flights are pretty inexpensive as well. You're looking at lots of ticket prices under $200 round trip, for example, out of Chicago.
I feel like we're spoiled with cheap fare out of Chicago and all of these other places. Is the other shoe going to fall at some point on this and it's not going to be cheap anymore?
Yes, it will. The other shoe will fall at some point. I just don't expect that to happen anytime soon. That would require the economy to be growing at 3%. Pretty much it would require fuel prices to bump up a little bit. So I don't expect that to happen anytime soon. Of course, you're going to pay a hefty premium for convenience. The big difference between connecting flights, and so you have to figure out whether or not that extra $200, $300 for the nonstop is worth it, or the one-stop will work for you.
One of our engineers, Ben, who does our show here in the morning, he's already bought tickets for Thanksgiving and got a really good deal. And it kind of reminded me to ask you, it's never really too early to start booking these flights for Thanksgiving, is it?
You should be looking right now, especially if you're leaving the Wednesday before and coming back the Sunday after Thanksgiving, two of the busiest days historically and the most expensive days to fly. So you should be looking for those tickets right now. The other days, Monday, Tuesday departures, actually the cheapest day, which is the day of Thanksgiving, the morning of typically is the cheapest. Coming back Saturday or a Monday, you still have a couple weeks to shop, but you don't want to procrastinate too much. Just think of it as sort of $1 a day for the next couple of weeks, and then the price starts going up $2 a day, 2 weeks after that, and then $3 a day after that. So you're not going to pay for procrastination.
Well, you mentioned a couple of flights out of Chicago at $200. Anything specific? Any place good to go?
Yeah, no, I was looking out at the West Coast in early October. You have prices, right around on United, nonstop flights, 111 round trip to San Francisco, for example. Los Angeles, also right there at the $107 round trip range on United in early October. Those typically are on Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday departures, a little bit more for Monday, Friday, and Sunday. If you want to go to South Florida, you have Miami, for example, sort of in that low range, United, $99 nonstop on October 3rd for a week, for example, there. So lots of good prices. Anytime you hear double digits like $99 to anywhere, that's almost, and that includes taxes and fees, which are probably in that particular case somewhere around $27 to $28. That means the fare is around $60 round trip.
Wow, very nice. Rick, happy travels.
Hey, great. Thanks, Steve.
Rick Cini is the founder and CEO of FareCompare.com out of Dallas. You can follow him at Rick Cini on Twitter, at FareCompare on Twitter as well.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 549 now on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Dow futures are up 44 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures up just single numbers this morning. Commodities, gold and silver, are trading higher this morning. Oil at $46.74 a barrel. Let's check the latest now on agriculture and commodities as well. Orion Samuelson is with us. Orion, good morning.
Well, good morning. Yes, back after probably the best three weather days in a row for the Farm Progress Show at Decatur, Illinois. Weather couldn't have been better. We didn't have the humidity and the heat and everything else, and tremendous crowds. They never release numbers of the people who attended, but I'm guessing Wednesday, probably one of the biggest days in the history of the show that's been going on now for 64 years. And I guess the thing that gets me, Steve, the distances that people travel to come to this show. I mean, more than 30 states and more than a dozen countries had visitors coming to the Farm Progress Show to see the latest in technology and crop production and equipment and machinery. Drones were a big highlight this year. A lot of agriculture people that are now using drones in the technology that's available to map crops from the air and determine if there's an insect or a weed problem or a low fertility problem. So all in all, it was just a great show. The folks at Farm Progress doing it every year and doing it better all the time.
You know, I was able to go online and watch some video of some of the events that was happening thanks to our friends at RFD. And it's just amazing, too. Every year it seems like we see the combines and tractors get bigger and shinier and brighter. Was there anything that jumped off of all of this at you as being the highlight, one of the big highlights?
No, because I think about 10 years ago, I stopped being amazed because it becomes natural and an annual event to come out with some new technology on combines and new technology on tractors. And nothing really big in the tractor or combine field that I hadn't seen before. But as I said, the drones, yeah, getting a lot of attention. And the other interesting change that I've seen in the Farm Progress Show over the years, yeah, you have the John Deere's and the Case IH's and the New Holland's and all of those big companies, the Monsanto's and the DeKalb's, but they set up what they call varied industries tents quite a few years ago. Exhibitors, not big enough to buy a big lot, but could buy a booth inside a tent with a lot of other activity from the smaller companies. And they have continually increased the size of that display area. I think they went from half a tent to a full tent, and this year added another half tent. It just keeps getting bigger. The smaller companies that are coming up with apps and programs that can be used by farmers. And so I would say that would be the one change. Now, of course, they pack up everything. They move to Grand Island, Nebraska, where a week from next Tuesday, the Husker Harvest Days will get underway. And that is the world's largest irrigation show. It's a permanent site again. And the irrigation companies have installed irrigation systems that are there the year round and are used by the farmers whose farms are host to the event. So they've got a week off for the Labor Day weekend, and then they're off to Grand Island, Nebraska.
You know, there's always so much to be in awe about farmers. One of the things that always gets me is, with this show too, it's just continuing education that's happening all the time. It seems like farmers are always learning, and I would imagine this new technology is part of that. How are they adapting to some of this new technology?
Well, they're adapting to it very well because on Wednesday, Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue was on the grounds, and we talked about his efforts to make it easier for young people to get into farming and agriculture. And one of his answers was, well, the technology is fascinating to them, and so they're doing it. Incidentally, the Secretary of Agriculture appeared on stage with Max and me and was well received. He's a good down-home boy, and I say that complimentary. He relates well to farmers. Of course, he's been involved in agriculture in Georgia for years, and it was fun to have him on stage with us and talk to him about his attitudes and the technology, and yes, the fact that farmers do adapt to the technology. Who would have thought 5 years ago that farmers would be out flying drones? But cattlemen right. Now use drones to find cattle in the pastures of the West that have maybe strayed off. And of course, from the standpoint of crop quality and crop progress, you get a much better look from the air than you do from the road driving alongside the field. So,
yeah, there was a little bit of politics. You mentioned the ag secretary was there, but do you feel that he's going to be a strong advocate for farmers? And I know the Farm Bill was kind of front and center there, too. They were taking some questions about that, weren't they?
They indeed they were, because, and that's something that's been going on now for about a month or so, the chairman of the House Ag Committee and the ranking member, and both Republican and Democrat, traveling around the country holding farm bill hearings on what do you want in the bill. Secretary Perdue doing just that. And yes, I think that from the standpoint of the secretary, I think he'll be a very strong proponent for agriculture, but he knows the subject, and he served as governor of Georgia, so he knows the politics, and frankly, I like him very much. I like what he's doing in the way of getting in touch with farmers, and particularly young farmers. Good turnout of FFA members on Wednesday at the show, and he spent time with them. He wanted to hear from the young ones, as he said, the future of our food production industry.
I'm guessing there will be more about the Farm Progress Show tomorrow morning on the show with you and Max.
Indeed, there will be. We'll share comments from the secretary, and I should remind people that it's a four-day trading week coming up. Markets will be closed on Labor Day, and then I also have to mention the fact that the Wednesday after Labor Day is the opening day of the Sandwich Fair, one of the best county fairs in the country, and it's just west of Chicago. We'll be out there. Max will be there on Wednesday. I'll be there on Thursday.
All right, Orion, have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, Orion Samuelson, make sure you're listening tomorrow morning starting at 5 o'clock, the morning show with Orion and Max. It is 5:56. Now let's check quickly the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Friday, September 1st. The Labor Department, of course, has the big jobs report, August jobs report. The Commerce Department reports on construction spending for July. And the Institute for Supply Management releases its manufacturing index for August. Automakers are going to start to report some of their sales as well for August. NAFTA talks are ongoing. The University of Michigan sentiment report is out. You'll be wanting to stay tuned for comments from the Council Economic Council Director Gary Cohn, who's set to be on CNBC later this morning talking about taxes. He, of course, is the White House point man on taxes. And if you're looking up at the sky at around 7 o'clock Chicago time this morning, you might see Florence the asteroid. Probably not. Let's hope you don't. The asteroid is the largest to fly past Earth since asteroids were discovered nearly a century ago. NASA says Florence is an estimated 2.5 miles across. It'll pass about 4.4 million miles from Earth again. NASA is telling us that'll happen about 7:02 Chicago time this morning.